doing a short series, and it's one of those that I need to share because this is a very vital issue. It's kind of one of those core value issues. If we don't get this fixed and get this in place, it impairs everything in our lives. And here's what it says in the scripture in Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And just to remind all of us, God hears our thinking, not just our speech. So Father, thank you for truth. Thank you, Lord, for opening the word to us that transforms us. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that what we think is according to your will. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Another way to say this verse is found in Proverbs 23:7, another version, for as the thoughts of his heart are, so is he. So in other words, we begin to act out how we think. So whatever you think you are, that's what you are. Whatever you think about yourself is what you're going to become. And one of the reasons I want to cover some material again on this topic is because contrary to popular belief in many churches, believing in God, believing in his word is not a one-time decision that occurs at the moment of your salvation. It's a decision you have to make every day to follow Jesus. So believing in God and his word is not a one-time decision. That's something every day I have to apply. And if I don't, then I get stagnant very quickly and don't grow. So Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So knowing him in wisdom, knowing him in understanding helps us to give off an attitude that's fragrant to those who come in contact with us. In other words, when you love the Lord and you serve the Lord, you can always be thankful and give thanks in all things. Because no matter what you're going through, he always causes you to triumph. That might look bad, but he's made a promise to you. You may go through hell before it's over. And listen, you will triumph before it's over. So attitude will make you or break you. And I want to say, you don't fail in this life because someone doesn't like you. You don't fail because you were born on the wrong side of the town. You don't fail because people are against you. You fail often because of an improper attitude. We don't fail because of the community that we were raised in or live in now. We don't fail because of the people who raised us. And we don't fail because of the color of our skin. We fail because of our attitudes and the baggage we allow to remain in our lives. And we fail when we neglect to obey the truth of God's word. We fail when we don't adhere to what God asks us to do. We fail when we don't walk by faith. We fail when we allow negativity, and it's all around us in our culture, isn't it, to start encroaching in on our thought patterns. In fact, you're going to fail when you can't get along with other people because you get bristly, cop an attitude, loving your brother, loving your sister, building relationships. Listen, we're all different. We come from different backgrounds. And that's going to continue to be that way in the culture in which we're living today. What we've got to learn is we focus our central theme around the person of Jesus Christ. No matter our cultural differences, our background differences, we all center ourselves around the Lord and learn to work together for the good of the kingdom. And you'll never be the success you should ever intend, God intended you to be, unless you learn to get along with brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. So no matter who you are, life never lives up to our expectations. I mean, it's a crazy world, isn't it? No matter what, trouble comes to everybody. The challenge is, how do we keep a good attitude in spite of the disappointments that crop up once in a while? The challenge is to hold on to faith when it's looking like it doesn't work. You can't afford to allow a negative attitude to grab hold of your spirit, because a negative attitude eventually will eat away at your spirituality. And when people have a bad attitude, they rarely rise above that in any area of life. In fact, people with a bad attitude usually kind of just spin around in a cesspool of defeat. You know, when we have a God attitude, we succeed in what we're trying to accomplish, what it is God's laid before us. So I don't know what baggage you have and that you've been dealing with all of your life, but we must learn to deal with the baggage of our past. And that would mean any jealousy issues, any pride issues, any anger issues. You have to learn to deal with that stuff. And if I'm serving the Lord, I have to believe that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I serve the God who delivers us out of them all. I might have some trouble in my life, but my attitude is God is going to cause me to triumph no matter what I'm facing. He will eventually deliver me. It's an attitude. I set my attitude to align with what God says. And when you do that, you exercise your faith. Just because you've been abused doesn't give you the right to go off on people. So you use your faith, you look within, you make adjustments in your life to come in alignment with what God says. And you're keeping your attitude as if flying a plane. You don't watch your attitude, you're going to nosedive and crash. You adjust your attitude and you proclaim, my best days are ahead. Say, my best days are ahead. Come on. And if you put the Lord first in your life, you keep on serving him and deal with those issues, learn how to work with others, God causes you to have victory. If you really believe God's in charge of your life, then you're believing he's working all things together for your good. And if you believe your steps are ordered of the Lord, then we adjust our attitude no matter what we're having to step through. Now, we don't like some of the stuff we have to step through. Amen? I mean, you don't applaud negativity when it comes your way or a bad experience when it comes in your direction, but we learn to adjust our attitude to align it with the Lord, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it appears. If you really believe God's in charge, no matter what you face, you are in a learning process. God's allowing it so we can grow and we can learn. He's allowing us to go through stuff so we learn it now rather than later. Is anybody listening this morning? All right, just checking. But I also want you to know that change doesn't start when you go out and buy a new suit. Change starts on the inside. I said change starts on the inside. And the word says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, I've seen many people who've lived very difficult lives and troubled lives come into the body of Christ and at times kind of be shunned or rejected because they don't look like, act like, dress like. And sometimes that can be a stumbling block for people to come to know Jesus. We've got to be really careful about that because we need to remember God's looking at their heart and he'll work in their heart. And eventually what's in the heart works its way to the outside. The rest of it catches up later. But sometimes we think that they've got to immediately put on the shell to look like us if we can accept them in the body of Christ. That's not what the scripture teaches us. As we think, and as long as we think negatively, you're going to struggle in everything you do in life. If I can change my attitude to trust the Lord, my whole life will change because attitude determines altitude. And if your life's on hold, there's some things you need to start learning. Some changes are needed. So we examine ourselves and address those issues in our life of attitude that need adjustment. Now, I know we come from different environments, and we become who we are by the environment we've lived in, by the values or lack of them that were given to us as children, also by the traditions that have been handed to us. But when we come to Jesus, we learn to emerge from all of those things that are not in alignment with God's word to become new creations in him. You see, the children of Israel have been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years, and they had been beaten down in life for decades and centuries, and they thought of themselves as grasshoppers. They were always negative and always complaining. The slightest little maladjustment in life, and they erupted in complaint and murmur because, listen, they never went anywhere because of that attitude. They remained in the wilderness all of their lives. So when you discover that you've got a wilderness mentality, that you've come out of some environment and some difficulties, and you've carried that with you into your Christianity, you've got to remember, as I said earlier, contrary to popular belief, when you believed in the Lord according to his word, it was not just that one-time decision at the moment of your new birth. It's a continuous process of decision-making, and you've got to continue to grow out of that old background. You've discovered you've got this wilderness mentality. You're going to have to get into God's word to say what he says. Find out what God's teaching us, because ultimately, you have to believe God will cause you to triumph when we align ourselves with him, or your attitude is going to continue to be really bad. I can do all things through Christ. In other words, quit saying, well, I can't lose weight. I don't know why you're not losing weight. Maybe you need to go listen to that Osmond girl on Nutrisystem. I don't know. But God has an answer for you, and he'll help you make whatever change is necessary, right? We need to read and study God's word so we can acquire the truth, the facts. You can stop smoking. You can break an addiction. Gail, how many years you were testifying the other day? 15 years. God, how many years prior to that had you smoked? 52 years. She came to know Jesus. Jesus changed their heart from the inside out. And not long after that, God delivered her from that habit. She's been free of it for 15 years. And no doubt her health has benefited by that. Amen. Thank the Lord. God will help any of us. You quit saying, I can't. You can do all things through Christ. It's a new day, and you've got to be reprogrammed with the word so you can make the adjustments that need to be made. As long as you're a complainer, God will love you, but he won't be able to do much for you. As long as you're a complainer, you're going to be hard to get along with. And as long as you're hard to get along with, you're going to struggle trying to achieve the purpose for which God created you. As long as you're negative, you'll remain in your wilderness and not ever get into your promises in the promised land. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they spy out the promised land. 10 of them come back with a negative report. You can see how overwhelmingly negative these folk were. And then God said, I'm not going to just say that's a negative, that's an evil report. That's what he called it. Two had a good report because it was a faith report. We believe God is able to help us. Amen. When you speak a negative report, God calls it evil. When you begin to proclaim, my best days are still ahead, you're getting your faith turned in the right direction. One of the saddest stories in the Bible is the story of God's people not being in that entire generation, failing to get into the promised land. They missed out on it because they gave a bad report. They had negative attitudes. They were constantly complaining. And our challenge today is to be in the wilderness and still retain a good attitude until God delivers us out of it. Amen? Amen. This is a faith matter, relationship between God and ourselves. If you know Jesus as Lord, you have confidence that your life can be lived without limits, that your life can be an adventure. And you step out and you realize God has called you out of. Faith does not demand miracles. Faith creates an environment where miracles can happen because we're believing the one who called us. Amen? But if you keep going in circles all of your life, you need to stop and say, wait a minute. Maybe it's me. Maybe I have a wilderness mentality. Maybe I need to make some changes. Quit making excuses for not experiencing the favor of God. Quit blaming other people. Just look in the mirror. Start treating people differently than the way you're treating them now. Know that your attitude is going to take you somewhere, and you're either going to climb higher or you're going to go lower. And make no mistake, the attitude you have right now will take you somewhere. You don't have to go from failure to failure. You can break free from all negative cycles. The negative people can be difficult to get along with because after a while, you just feel like, right? And as long as you're hard to get along with, you're rarely going to have the successes God's intending for you. The Lord wants all of us to change. God wants us to have so much faith in Him, we have a good report coming out of our mouths, even when the odds are against us. We've experienced that. We've walked through that. When they said, no, that cannot happen for you. No, that's not possible. That's fine. That's your opinion, and you're a professional, and you have a right to give us all the, you know, you got all the input. But I still serve a God who gets the last word, and He does, and He did. Amen? So God wants us to have so much faith that that report is a good one that comes up out of us. Don't be trapped by your own words. Have you ever had to catch yourself? Something's come out of there and you go, No, Father, I reject what I just said. Amen? Our circumstances are not what defeat us. Our attitude is what causes our defeat. Your attitude will leave you in the wilderness for life. And that's why you've got to get out of the negative patterns, get reprogrammed. How? By getting His word in your life. Listen, you don't have to be a drug dealer for the devil to defeat you. All you've got to do is be negative, a complainer. And all you have to do is have a bad attitude. And there's going to, defeat will follow you everywhere you go. It's just going to be all around you all the time. And if you're going to get along with other people, you have to be careful how you address and speak and conduct yourself and go out of your way to be positive with them. You just can't run around and pop people in the head all the time with negative words. You know, you can look at your neighbor if you want to, but that's okay. Our words must encourage. Our words must build up. Paul called this edification. He said, you are to speak words that edify. What does that mean? That means we are to encourage people, to build up people, to help people understand we're standing with you in your trouble, in your crisis. Now, we don't encourage people to continue in sin. There's another word for that. That's called correction. But we edify and we build up people when they're struggling and they're working towards something and everything seems to be going wrong for them. We come alongside and we encourage one another. And the Lord wants you to grow to the point where you can look at trouble and still keep a good attitude. He wants you to know that He's so big, nothing can stop you from being blessed because you've cast all your care on Him. Why? Because He cares for us. We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are added to you. So even though you go through some difficulties, God says, stop believing the worst. And you can catch that sometimes in yourself, first of all, because our programming from our old nature tends to want to drift into the negative. Then when we learn how to course correct that, then you start hearing it when others do it, because their first reaction to anything and everything is the worst case scenario. Everything you're going through today is just training you, God's saying. I'm just training you from where I'm taking you tomorrow. So He wants us to change our attitude and say, I'm on the journey with you. This is an adventure. Because God's saying, I'm taking you somewhere. Amen? He's taking us somewhere. And your attitude will make you or break you. It's not what happens to me that determines my future. It's what happens inside of me that determines how far I go. So if you've got the right attitude, you believe that even though a cloud has come over, a shadow has been cast in your direction, there's somewhere in there a silver lining. Amen? Because faith is now. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is now. I'm looking for what God's going to do in the moment, in the now. Even if you're in the wilderness today, no, it's training you to take you into your future. And you look at everything. We complain. We become a nation of complainers because, you know, sometimes it's become a prop for people. Complaining keeps people from closely examining themselves because they're always complaining about this, complaining about this, complaining about this person, complaining about that. I don't like what that one did. And you're deflecting the mirror off of yourself. And that's what a lot of folk do in our culture. It keeps us from examining ourselves. It's time to turn our lives around. You know, God provides worms for the birds to eat, but He doesn't push them down their throats. We have to take initiative. That means we pick up the Word of God and we study it and we learn and we say, Father, teach me today. Faith. It's in the wilderness we learn what we need to learn. Teach me. Show me what to do. It's in the wilderness you learn change. You don't change in the promised land. In the wilderness you learn to tithe. Yeah. That was great. I watched Dad when his company said, you can't work for us anymore because, you know, you've had a heart attack, and even though you're recovering, we don't want you working here anymore. And that was in the day when they could get away with stuff like that. And he just went out and started his own business. And by the way, built it next to the one that let him go and did better than they did. And he learned to tithe even when there was no income. He had no income. But whatever God provided, there was still a tithe. Listen, you learn to tithe in the wilderness. If you can't learn to forgive in the wilderness, you're not going to learn to do that in the promised land. So attitude will make you or break you. And when your mind says, you can't do anything right, remind yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So when your mind says, I'm nothing but a victim, and you start feeling sorry for yourself, listen, the man of God, the woman of God on the inside has to rise up and say, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves me. You ever met someone who had victim mentality? Oh my gosh. I gave my life to the Lord and I started to tithe and everything got worse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Welcome to the journey. We're all on it. My spouse ran around on me. Or they held up my promotion at work. I was next in line and they didn't give it to me. When I went to cash my check and I had lost my ID. So I couldn't cash my check. So I had to go back and find another ID. And then when I finally found another ID, I had to catch the bus and I couldn't make it. And finally, when I caught the bus, it was the wrong bus. I got on bus 13. It should have been on bus 23. Listen, people who see themselves as victims, I mean, come on, quitters. Victims just quit. They don't have the strength to keep on. Their strength comes from the Lord. And if you've got a victim mentality, you got to get reprogrammed. You have to get the word in your heart, or you're not going to make it, folks. Every single day of our lives, we have to examine our attitudes. Every single day, we have to adjust our attitude indicator like it is in the cockpit of any plane, or we're going to fall and fail. Every single day, you have to know you have to rise in that attitude to embrace the principles of God's truth. But you will never rise above your attitude. Your attitude will take you somewhere up or down, high or low. And if this is going to be your year, if you're going to finish this year strong, change your attitude. If this is going to be your year, you've got to quit being so hard to get along with. This is going to be your year, you have to become more flexible than you've been. This is going to be your year, you got to button up the criticism. This is going to be your year, you're going to have to learn to love people you don't want to love, but you're going to love them. If this is going to be your year, you're going to have to forgive people you don't really feel like forgiving. If this is going to be your year, you're going to have to change your attitude and make adjustments. And the number one reason people succeed in life has to do with attitude, more than any other particle of their success. There are millionaires all over America who don't even have a great education. Attitude is what it's all about. Sometimes I'm amazed that the people want to come to Calvary Christian Center and hear what I have to say on a Sunday. I'm grateful for that, that God's trusted me enough to bring me here to deliver word to you. Now, if you worked at Walmart, what if your attitude was, I'm so grateful that God brought all of these customers in here to supply enough money for me to take a paycheck home? Right? To have a job. Rather than being negative and complaining, because I have to stand on my feet so many hours, and no one's nice to me when they come into Walmart. They're always scowling at me. And you're going through all this mess at work every day. I wonder what God would do for you if you had an attitude, I'm grateful that God has me doing whatever he's assigned me to do, and I have the opportunity to do it, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, because that's what my Father expects of me. The number one reason people fail on the job is their attitude. Number one reason people are fired from their jobs is attitude. Number one reason people get divorced has to do with attitudes. I'm going to do it my way. And the pride digs in the heels. So next, the attitude is you're just too hard to get along with, right? So when you have a good attitude, it affects everybody around you. When you have a negative attitude, you always seem to have negative results. Because as a man thinks in his heart, So you don't have to walk from one negative cycle to the next. You don't have to go from failure to failure. You change your attitude. You get reprogrammed. You start changing things you say to yourself. How are you talking to yourself? Have you ever stopped and listened to yourself? What are you saying about yourself? What are you calling yourself? I'm a child of God. I belong to the King. Huh? I'm a spirit-filled believer. I am a royal priesthood. I belong to the holy nation. I've been set apart for God's use. Or are you walking around talking to yourself saying, you're stupid, you can't do anything right? Listen, God, I don't want to dwell in the wilderness. I don't want to go from negative cycle to negative cycle. I need your help. Show me where I'm wrong. Help me to fix what I need to get fixed. Teddy Roosevelt said, the formula for success is knowing how to get along with people. Success is determined by the way you treat others. Getting along, success is determined by our attitude. And negative people always reap what they sow. God will not be mocked. So when you get negative, negative comes back. When you're giving and loving, it will come back. And God will never be mocked. People who are hard to get along with, they go from job to job, relationship to relationship. They reap what they sow. This is tight, but it's right. Amen. So make no mistake. If you're not easy to get along with, it's going to be a struggle for you. If you're inflexible, if you're too rigid, you're going to have a difficult time. If you have a negative attitude and a bad attitude, it's impacting on your finances and your relationships, and your whole life is affected. Let me ask you a question. Are you hard to get along with? Ask somebody else. Go ahead. Yeah. Ask other people. They'll tell you. If they don't lie, they'll tell you. You really might not want to know the answer to that question. Maybe you need to ask God. When people are kind and loving, others are drawn to that kind of a person. When people are kind and nurturing and loving, others are drawn to them like a magnet, right? When people are negative, they lose friends. They become loners. They're always isolated. They can't even find someone to take them to the airport to leave town. I mean, nobody wants to be in the car with you. Tell the truth and shame the devil, right? Whether you have an outgoing personality or not, your success depends on the way you treat others. It does. Are you a team player? Or is it all about me, me, me? I'm building my own little kingdom here. Team players. If you're a team player, you'll probably do very well. God loves that. If you're not a team player, life is going to get bumpy and difficult. God's not mocked, because whatever you give, that's what's coming back. The point of living is giving in the kingdom. That's the way his kingdom works. The point of living is not what you get. And let me go a step further. The point of living is loving, because love gives. Are you hearing this? Selfish people don't do well in relationships. Self-centeredness will cause you to fail in relationships. Something about a good attitude. You keep pressing in, even when you feel like, I ought to just quit. It's not worth it. A good attitude that will cause us to hold on to our faith, the difficulties in life, that's not what defeats us. The obstacles don't defeat us. It's attitude. It's the way we respond. It's the way we If we're responding to a situation, or we're taking a proactive attitude toward the situation, it's our attitude that makes or breaks it. It's the bad attitude that leaves us hanging in the wilderness. And refusal to deal with all the baggage and refusing to change, defeat is the end result of that. Three Hebrew boys, they take a stand for God. They're facing and looking into a furnace that's a smelting furnace. This thing melts anything that comes near it and killed the soldiers that got too close to the door. And they were serving God and weren't going to bow. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. With all due respect, they honored the king. They spoke properly to him with respect for the position that he held, even though they had full disagreement with what he was asking of them. With all due respect, sir, you know, thank you for your recommendation and your direction, but that's not what we can do, nor will we do it. And they were told, if you don't bow, you're going to burn. They said, if it be so. What an attitude, right? Well, if you don't bow to our God, you're going to burn. Well, if it be so. We're going to throw you into that furnace, if it be so. Attitude. If you put the Lord first, you acquire that kind of an attitude. You quit worrying over your future, keeping the Lord first. You quit worrying about your children. You quit worrying about your business and your marriage. Put God first. Make the changes he's telling you to make and work on yourself. And what the devil meant to destroy you, God meant it for good. He may not show up when you want him to, but God's always on time. He's an on-time God, and faith in God, it includes faith in his timing. Faith in God includes faith in his timing. Because I want it now. And God says, I gave you that. I don't want to preach that one again. But faith in God includes his timing. Many times it's wait. Often he'll say, no, you grow first. And when you grow to a certain point, then I'm going to give it to you. Right? Faith in God includes faith in his timing. And if the devil is fighting you today, that means you've got to be going somewhere. Because he doesn't waste his time fighting people who aren't going anywhere. He only picks on those that make trouble for him. Say to your neighbor, after all I've been through, I must be going somewhere. The devil wouldn't mess with you if you weren't going somewhere. If you're serving the Lord, you believe he's going to turn it around. If you're serving him, this too shall pass. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. Attitude. No matter what you're facing, I want to say to you, you're closer to your victory than you believe or understand. If you only knew how close you were to your victory, you would change your attitude. Whether you know it or not, you're this close. So close. And the difference will make in your attitude between success or failure. Everybody say, my success is determined by my attitude.
My success is determined by my
attitude. I proclaim my best days are ahead.
I proclaim my best days
are ahead. My attitude is taking me higher,
not lower.
Amen?
Amen?
So if you're a low point today, grab hold of God's word, because the tide will turn. The light will shine. God will give you double for all the trouble. And when people go through a divorce, someone's always kicked to the curb in those things by betrayal or abuse, and they don't want to work on what it takes to make the marriage succeed. It's sacrifice, and they'll walk off saying, I want out of here. I'm going to go do what I want to do. Listen to me. That negativity, it spills over. It affects other people, affects families, affects children. And you can't be putting that kind of seed in the ground without reaping the harvest it will bring. And for the person who's been kicked to the curb and abused and left behind, listen to me, you keep on serving God. You will be blessed. God will bring it back to you again. And God, it may take a while, but God will bless you. That's the way it is with the Father's children. So hang on to the Lord and believe. No wonder, listen, why God is allowing you to go through things. And I've asked that question. You will ask that question. But it's all about changing us. If your life is on hold, there needs change. You're going through stuff because you need to make some changes. And quit getting angry with God. Look at yourself. Say, what is it you're trying to say to me, Lord? God will take you to a new and better place every time you're willing to negotiate that with him. But before he does that, he's got to bring correction to us because it's all about our attitude. Elijah's at the brook. The brook dries up. The raven no longer drops him free lunch in the afternoon from Panera. So now he's got to get up. And he could have gotten angry with God. There's no water. There's no food. I'm your servant. Why did you let this happen to me? God allowed that brook to dry up because he wanted Elijah to go to another place in the north part of the country where there was a widow that needed him to be there to spark a miracle that would change the direction for her and her son. When things dry up in your life, make the adjustments. And when I say make the adjustment, I'm not talking about moving somewhere else or changing your spouse, because you're going to take you with you. I'm speaking about changing yourself. Work on yourself. Yeah, you're being tested, but it's in the test. That's where God shows up. It's when you pass through some hot water that God proves how big he really is. See, we're like tea bags. We have to go through some hot water before the flavor comes out. Amen? So God allows you to pass through some hot water. He gets our attention. Whatever's in there is going to come out when you get dipped in the hot water. But now he has your attention. Now he's going to change, and God wants you to have the kind of faith so no matter what you face, you can come out of that saying, my best days are still ahead. Amen? To look at trouble and say, I don't accept the trouble as final. He wants you to believe he's working all things together for good. You can recall when the army of Israel is being taunted by the giant Goliath, and everybody is fearful of Goliath. They know he's impossible to defeat, at least from their perspective. But young David has a different attitude. And they said, he's just too big to knock down. And David said, wait a minute, he's too big to miss, right? David said, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and Goliath's shadow was the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In the valley of Elah, he had an attitude that says, I serve a God who will not tolerate you doing this to his people. I may be going through hell and high water, but my God will take care of me. My family might be a mess, but my God will take care of me. God wants you to have so much faith in him, we'll make the adjustment in our attitude. Having so much faith in him, it affects change on the inside. You can't change where you've been. You can change where you're going. Maybe you had a bad attitude in the past. Make the changes today. You're going to obey God, and he'll send blessings to you. And if you look at the facts in your life, it might be easy to have a bad attitude. Look at this. But look at the facts through the eyes of faith. Look at the facts through the eyes of how God is seeing it. And believe that your God will always cause you to triumph in Christ Jesus. Because attitude makes you or breaks you. It makes you or breaks you in business. It makes you and breaks you in marriage. Makes you and breaks you in finance. Makes you and breaks you in relationships. If you're going to see some turnaround, there's got to be adjustments. Not on the other person's part, but on my part. You can't control the way people treat you. You can control the way you treat them. You can control how you react inwardly and outwardly. Are you listening? Amen? Your circumstances don't determine your future, but your attitude does. And just because you've had failures in life doesn't mean you are a failure. The word is filled with those who experienced failure. God turned it for their good. David failed. God turned it around. Peter failed. God turned it around. Moses failed. God turned it around. Amen? Right? Samson failed. God turned it around in the last moments of his life. God is a turnaround God. Now, that's why I don't stop tithing and don't stop loving. Not stop forgiving. Failure is nothing more than a temporary setback. I continue to do the things that are right, no matter if the clouds are out or the sun is out, if life is good or life is bad, I continue to do the right thing before God because I have a right attitude, and I'll grow in the middle of even a failure. If we have the right attitude, listen, we'll know that our failure was nothing but a teacher for our future. We learn from our mistakes. The truth is, there's not much difference between success and failure. Really, just attitude. Look at the Olympic Games. The ever so slight differences between the gold medal and no medal can just be milliseconds. Between gold and none, 1/10 of a second. Very little difference between success and failure. But a bad attitude will almost always ensure a defeat. A good attitude turns the tables in the direction of favor. So if you knew how close you really were, you'd say, what do I need to adjust here? It's time to change our attitude. Jesus said, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. Wow. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Thank you. It's God's word. Not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. We can predict our own futures by how we obey the Lord. And if you're tired of being broke, busted, and disgusted, start obeying God and putting Him first. And He'll command His blessings on you. He'll open the windows of heaven. And you won't get stuck in a bad place forever. You're in training and you will come out of the test. You're learning from your mistakes. And you're going to treat people better. Because you know what? When enough pain comes in your direction, it brings humility back into your life. The scripture says that we are to humble ourselves. Nowhere does it say, anywhere in scripture, we are to ask God to humble us. And you probably better not do that. It's not a good idea. I would not suggest you ask God to humble you, because He has very strong ways of doing that. So the scripture tells us, humble yourself before the Lord. And trouble teaches us a new level of compassion and humility and understanding of some of the difficult places people find themselves in. And that's why the scripture is so clear. If someone is overtaken in a failure, what are we supposed to do? We are to go to them and with all humility and love to restore that person. And then it goes on to say, because the next time it could be you in need of that same kind of love and humility to help you. So I don't know about you, but I like being forgiven. I don't know about you, but I love it when God's merciful to me. And that means I need to share the same that God has shared with me. You're learning from your mistakes. You'll treat people better. So change the attitude. Whatever you do, don't let life put you down into the negative. You may be challenged today by what you face and the difficulties that are yours. But remember, a good attitude will turn your life around. A right attitude will change the things that you say and think. And God, as I think in my heart, may it be the truths of your word. May it be the expressions of your Son. May it be the passion and power of your Holy Spirit that comes out of me, because that's what I have filled myself with. Let's stand together. Come on, let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. You're good. I bless you. I thank you. I praise you. All glory be to your name.